You hear me?
Yes.
Okay. In Psalms 27, verse 14, Psalms 27 and verse 14, we're asking the question, what does it mean to wait upon the Lord? Now, this expression, wait upon the Lord, is found many, many times in the scriptures, and it's used in many different contexts with many different promises. It's somewhat like the promises that he gives for those who fear the Lord. So it'd be good for us to consider the different ways in which he uses this expression, wait upon the Lord. In Psalms 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And we have a song we sing regularly with these very words. So what does it mean then, wait on the Lord? Is it in the sense of waiting patiently or long-suffering? Is it waiting in the sense of waiting for the Lord to do his work? Is it waiting in the sense of the Lord, waiting the Lord to do what we can't do? So there are Hebrew synonyms that are translated wait. And it's interesting to see how these are used, but these synonyms are, of course, mostly different. They have different meanings, and yet some of them are very, very close. So I'd like to go through some of these in a word study and keep these scriptures together. So we won't be going just to one and then the other scripture. We'll be going to the words that he uses for fear of the Lord. In Psalms 42, we're looking at the psalm where the psalmist is waiting on the Lord to relieve him from his suffering. And this may not use the words waiting on the Lord, but this definitely is a brother, or sorry, one of God's souls who is waiting on the Lord. As the hart pants after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And we got a song that sings this. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now, this is where the song differs from the psalm here. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Now, at first glance, this psalm appears to be a love song in a very human sense. But notice now his condition as he desires to appear before God. Now, we don't use that kind, my heart pants for thee, I want to appear before you. But that's what this psalm is. He wants to appear before God. He's tormented by the unbelievers who are constantly asking him, where's your God? In the sense, you're depending on God. You're saying that God's going to do these things for you, but he's not doing it. So where is your God? So he's tormented by these unbelievers. Then verses 5 and 6. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. So he remembers God in all of this discouragement. And then in verse 7, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. So now notice the psalmist needs God to finish his work. Notice whose waterspouts these are? Thy waterspouts, and he's talking to God here. All thy waves, and these are not nice things for this psalmist, and thy billows are gone over me. They're all belonging to God. So God's doing his work. And again, he does know it's God and not man doing these things, even though God is using men to do them. So in Psalms 42, verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. That's what he's waiting for. And in the night, his song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. So he's very dependent upon God. I will say unto God, my rock, there's his foundation that he stands on. Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? And then again, he acknowledges that he is totally discouraged. Oh, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. So this is by no means an earthly love song. The psalmist needs God to finish his work so he can appear before God after judgment day. Now let's turn to Psalm 17. Psalm 17, verse 12. God uses other men to train our hearts. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him. This is his enemy. Cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. Notice, the wicked are God's sword. From men which are thy hand. So what does God use? He uses men's sword and the wicked and these men. O Lord, from men of the world. These are not God's people. They're men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with hid treasure. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. So they're doing well, but they hate this man that loves God. And so they're tormenting him daily. Where is your God? In Jeremiah 20, verse 11, we don't find many prophets that are discouraged. But here we find Jeremiah waiting on the Lord because he is very discouraged. Jeremiah 20, verse 11. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. So he's got hope in God here, but notice what else he has. Jeremiah 20, verse 12. But O thou Lord of hosts that triest the righteous, so he's trying Jeremiah, and sees the reins and hearts. He knows Jeremiah's reins and hearts and everybody else's. Let me see thy vengeance upon them. For unto thee have I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Now Jeremiah did not take his own vengeance on these evil men. He was waiting on the Lord. So though the expression wait on the Lord is not used, Jeremiah was waiting for the Lord to do his work. So his complete faith was waiting for the Lord to take vengeance. 1 Samuel 25, David understands this same principle of waiting on the Lord. Verse 32, and David said unto Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which hath kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and notice, from avenging myself with my own hand. So she's saving David from sin. But notice now, blessed be the God of Israel which sent thee. So God's doing this. He's using Abigail to do it. But nevertheless, David was saved from taking vengeance on his enemy. David needed to wait on the Lord for the Lord to take vengeance. And he almost sinned before God. So God was working with David to keep him out of sin and used Abigail in this case to do it. Back to Jeremiah and Jeremiah 20. God does the same thing with Jeremiah, verse 14. Jeremiah says, cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man, the one who brought the tidings to his father, be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not. And let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontide. Why? Because he did not slay me from the womb. Or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be with always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. So why does he curse this man who brought news to his father, made his father glad? But Jeremiah was totally discouraged. And Jeremiah 12, verse 1, like Asaph and Job's friends, Jeremiah did not at first understand God's work with the wicked. So he's very discouraged now because here God is blessing all these wicked people and causing him all kinds of trouble. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet, nevertheless, let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Why are you doing this? Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy, that is blessed, that deal very treacherously? You have planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried my heart toward thee. So he knows what God's doing. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter. Do evil to them and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. In all of this, Jeremiah was willing to wait on the Lord to take vengeance. He didn't take it in his own hand. Nevertheless, he's extremely discouraged. In Jeremiah 12, verses 5 and 6, Jeremiah 12, verse 5, God answers Jeremiah and chides him. If you have run with footmen and they have wearied thee, how shalt thou contend with horses? And if the land of peace wherein you trust, they wearied thee, then how will you do in the swelling of the Jordan? Jeremiah, things are going to get much worse. For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. So his own people are trying to kill him. So in the Old Testament, the horses were far more powerful than the footmen. So Jeremiah, if you think it got rough now, wait until I bring the horses. So Jeremiah 16, verse 2, God tested Jeremiah with yet another test. Thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons and daughters in this place. For thus saith the Lord concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land. They shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth. So Jeremiah, is that what you want? And they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. So Jeremiah's got a rather heavy burden here. But nevertheless, God was looking after him, and Jeremiah was waiting on the Lord. So there's another ordinary Hebrew word that's used in the same context, and I'll just give you the numbers here, 3176, and it just literally means to wait. All right, Psalms 42, verse 5, Psalms 42 and verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope in God. This is this word now that is translated hope here, but it's literally the word wait. So when you're seeing wait in the Old Testament, you're liable to be seeing this word 3176, which is translated hope in the Lord, but it's deeper than hoping in the Lord. So here in both cases, the psalmist was willing to wait on the Lord. In 2 Kings 6 and verse 33, 2 Kings 6, verse 33, and while he yet talked with him, behold, the messenger came down to him, and he's talking now about Jehoram, who is waiting for Elijah, and he's waiting for God to give food. And so here Elijah had prophesied there would be food. Behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer? There's your 3176. Common use. I'm waiting for him to do something, and he's not doing it. So he's going to go now and try to take Elisha's head off of him. So he's now discouraged, but he's no longer willing to wait for the Lord. In Psalm 69, verse 3, the same word, wait. Psalm 69, verse 3. David suffered greatly as he waited on the Lord to do his work. And he says, I'm weary of my crying. Now here's this big, strong man. And yet he's weeping here. I'm weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. So David is waiting for God to do these things. He's learned his lesson. The Lord told him, you love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Well, the Israelites were his neighbors, and he couldn't do anything to any Israelite that tried to do him damage. In Micah, the 7th chapter, in verses 1 to 6, Micah was another prophet who was totally discouraged. And in verse 7, he uses this word, wait on the Lord. But he says, wait in for God. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There's no cluster to eat. My soul desires the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth. There is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. They're pretty wicked people. That they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asked, and the judge asked for a reward. And the great man, he utters his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. They agree to this evil. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation comes. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend, but not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of your mouth from her that lies in your bosom. They're all wicked. For the son dishonors the father. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Sound familiar? Verse 7, here's Micah's solution. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait, 3176, for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. So God's the only one he can trust in this situation. So he is waiting on the Lord for his salvation. So just for interest's sake here, the word El in the Hebrew is translated either in or for. So when we're saying in the Lord, or we could also translate that for the Lord. So we've seen in Psalms 42, and we're looking now at verse 11. This word is used in this man who is disquieted and his soul is cast down in him. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope, there's this word wait, 3176, thou in God. For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. So this is also waiting for the Lord. Then in 43 verse 5, Psalms 43 verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope, and there's the same word again, wait on God. For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. So we need to be like this and wait on God to do his work, which we are not able to do. In Psalms 31, verses 23 and 24, David encourages us to follow his example. Oh, love the Lord, Psalms 31, 23. Love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and plentifully rewards the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All you that hope, there's your same word, 3176, in the Lord. You wait on the Lord. So just like the Psalms we read before in 27:14, this says the same thing. And there's your promise. If we wait on the Lord, he will strengthen our heart. And as we wait for him, we need to be of good courage and wait on the Lord. Our Job was another man who was waiting on the Lord in all of his suffering. Job 8, we're looking at verses 1 through 7. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, "How long will you speak these things? And how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind?" So here's his, are his dearest friends, the closest one he's got, and they're insulting him and more, scoffing at him because he's saying, "I'm hurting." Verse 3, does God pervert judgment? Or doth the Almighty pervert justice? They don't understand. It's them that are wrong, not Job. And yet, Job is enduring all this, waiting on the Lord. And if thy children have sinned against him, and he have cast them away for their transgression. So here, God took all of his children, and they're saying, all right, they deserve to go. What kind of a friend is this? Of course, you know the devil's using them. If you would seek God, unto God be times, well, he's already done that. And make thy supplication of the Almighty. He's constantly doing that. If thou wert pure and upright, and he was, surely now he would wait for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. Well, Job's already been doing all that. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. So Job had a very great burden. He's doing right. He's suffering and being mocked for not doing the very thing he's doing. In Job 6 and verse 10, Job says, then should I have great have comfort. Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare. Notice, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. So who was given the words of the Holy One here? Job was. He was a prophet of God. So he has not concealed the words of the Holy One that he got from God. So that's not why all these things are happening. Job is suffering because God is training him. And we see this training then is showing some fruit in James, the fifth chapter. James 5, verses 10 and 11. Here's the fruit that we see Job bearing because he endured all these friends and all the physical suffering. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord. There's Jeremiah. For an example of suffering affliction, and of patience, they endured. Patience is abiding under, enduring all this suffering. Behold, we count them happy, that is blessed, which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. By the time it was all over, his friends had to say, okay, we were wrong. He had many times, 10 times as much as he had before, and he had twice as many children as he had before, and these appear to be righteous and even beautiful in the eyes of the world. So God did reward Job richly because he endured, but what's going to happen on Judgment Day? This is the day Job will shine. Why? Because he will have suffered more than all of us. And God then will honor and glorify him, and he's given Job the honor to have had the chance to suffer these things so God could honor them. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 3 to 5, and we see this is in the New Testament as well. 2 Thessalonians 3, 3 to 5. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord directs your hearts into the love of God, and notice, and into the patient waiting for Christ. So Christ will do his work if we will patiently wait for him. He is forming our hearts. He is doing all these things for our sake. All these things are working together for good for those that love him. And we are trying to do his will. They are good for us, every single one of them. And someone says, why is it that my mate is the one that's always causing me all this trouble and problems? And so when they said that, I quit. Well, if you get out and go to town, the Lord could use somebody else. But since your husband is the only one here to use, the Lord's using him. The Lord does use men as his sword and as his training. All right, now we go to Psalms 27, verses 1 to 3. David is waiting on the Lord and trusted him to protect him in every situation. Psalms 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So that's what he's waiting for God for. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, and this will I be confident. So David was fully trusting in the Lord. It didn't matter what men did to him. He depended on God to watch over him and to save him. And Psalms 46, verses 1 to 3. Psalms 46, 1 to 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. So he's depending on God to help him when? In time of trouble. Therefore will not we fear. We're not going to fear men. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. That'd be quite a sight. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. He's going to trust in the Lord and not going to fear men at all. Psalms 56, verse 4. Psalms 56, verse 4. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And that's quoted then again in the book of Hebrews. We'll see, Lord willing. Isaiah 2, verse 22. Isaiah is the same way. Isaiah 2, verse 22. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted for? It's a pretty good argument. What can man do that God can't undo in the blink of an eye? In Psalms 56, verses 4 through 9, David did not take his own vengeance on the Israelites. In God, I will praise his word. Psalms 56, verse 4. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. Here's what they're doing. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape my iniquity? And he asked the Lord, in thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings, he's arguing with God. Put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, that God is for me. So David waited on the Lord, had full faith that as long as he was bound to the Lord, God would look after him. So in Proverbs, the 20th chapter, and verse 22, Proverbs 20 and verse 22, we've seen a major expression then, wait on the Lord, in the sense of not taking vengeance for oneself. And we see more here. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. So God saves those who are bound together with him. This word 6920 is literally to bind together. So this is not just waiting for God to do his work. This is binding to God, draw near to God. In 2 Samuel 16, verse 12, and we have many of these words that use this 6920, to bind together with God. 2 Samuel 16, verse 12. It may be that the Lord will look upon my affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for this cursing this day. So here's this man cursing David and walking along beside him, cursing him over and over again. But David said, it may be the Lord will see and will requite me good for his cursing. Then in 1 Samuel 26, verses 8 through 10, David would not take vengeance on King Saul, even after about 10 years of King Saul chasing David to kill him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thy hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with a spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. But Abishai was a rather powerful man. He could have easily done that. And David said to Abishai, Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said, therefore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle. God would do all three of those. But David says, let God do it, let not me. Why? Because King Saul was an Israelite, and God had commanded the Israelites, love your neighbor. So that was David's job, to love and to serve King Saul. Well, we see this very thing in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verses 5 and 6. God encourages us in the very same way. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now notice what he quotes here. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do to me. Future tense. Well, we just read the Hebrew said, I will not fear what man can do to me. But the Hebrew can also be translated in the future tense, and is. That word is many times. So we need to fear the Lord, and we need to not fear what men will do to us. And David was ready for what men would do to us. We need to be the same way. And we need to trust the Lord that we need to wait on him, and he will take vengeance for us. He will care for us and look after us. So all these things are for our good if we will wait on the Lord, and he will strengthen our hearts.